and body here filled with flesh, bones, blood, parasites, oops, fecus. What is fecus?
Feces.
Feces. Oh. Mucus, bile, and air. Now the men are heavily getting Rukmini's chastisement. We are bags filled with flesh, bones, blood, parasites, feces, mucus, bile, and air. Anyone who accepts this as a husband, a living dead man, is totally befooled. Srila Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on the authority of this statement by saying, he indeed should become one's husband who can remove all fear. Sri Krishna is the real husband for all women at all times. Thus a woman who worships someone else as a husband simply worships a dead body. Hare Krishna. I hope no one gets offended here. These are the infallible laws of the Lord and of Rukmini Devi, the wife of the Lord. So, my dear devotees, I want to now give you a little task. I also see somehow you went late to bed. Please use your midday pause to sleep. We will put Daniel to sleep and put some nice music for you so that you can sleep nicely. Please don't fall asleep during the afternoon. I want to request you now to imagine yourself in the following situation. The evening of your life has arrived. You are elderly. You look back to a long life or a short life in devotional practices. ISKCON has changed in many ways. Your life has changed. You thought you would never marry, but you have married. Or you thought you would always marry, but you have not married. Many things have changed. You are a little bit wiser. And you know you do not have so much more time in this body. This is the sound which comes out of your throat at that time. now the real purpose in my life is what we have learned from Yadunandan. It is surrender to Krishna. Please write your letter to Krishna now that he accepts you with everything. Try to think of what you have learned in this seminar on Atmanivedanam. It was surrender of the body, mind, and words, and so on. Write a real nice letter and look at it from time to time. You will have for this exercise 7 minutes. Good exercise. You are getting into it with gusto. Thank you very much. You might like to continue writing it in your free time. I want to thank you very much for participating also today. So live. In the afternoon, or this afternoon, we will come to the central concept of the path of Sharanagati, Goptritve Varanam. We will have some very, very nice verses waiting for us and very nice considerations. But I noticed something which I want to say. Some of you are a little tired. Maybe I'm at fault also because I cannot create such a dynamic atmosphere. That is well possible. But what I suspect is that you do not sleep enough. Also, when the weather is very cold, like it is sunny and cold, the body is drained of energy and as a result becomes more tired. That's very natural. So my humble request to you is take some good sleep. When you have eaten prasadam, you might lie on the left side. That's what is trick. LSD is called left side doses in our Hare Krishna jargon. So it helps you to digest and sleep well, because we will need you all well rested and fully attentive. Thank you very much for struggling along. All the best. What time? Yeah. What time? This is a very good question. Yesterday we started at 4:30. Yes. Is 3 hours enough for the lunch break? I think if we really are without, I think 4 o'clock we can make it, no? Because today is the most important day, the Goptritve Varanam. We must give it enough time. Please be here at 4:30, and I will go through the sleeping 4 o'clock. Yes, 4 o'clock. I will go through the sleeping rooms of the men and inspect how deep you sleep. No, I'm joking. I will do the same as you. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Example of Queen Rukmini, isn't it? I think Rukmini has won our heart with her very realized request to be accepted by Lord Krishna. I also hope that your letter writing exercise of this very important anga of Atma Nivedana was fruitful. May I offer you a little tip regarding this retreat or this seminar? It is my great recommendation to all of you to sometimes read either the songs or to read your notes maybe, and think deeply about it. It's really not, a subject we can learn in one retreat to surrender completely. But it is certainly something which we can highlight, or which we can, you know, where we can throw our attention on, and then when the time comes, we can apply some of the steps. You might have this question which I want to address at this moment. Maharaj, how can we come into the mood of taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet? How can we practice Sharanagati? It seems it's something which cannot really be practiced, almost like love. How can you practice to love? It's either there in the heart or it is not there. This is usually what we think about love. But there is some point of consideration, a point which tells us that indeed it can be practiced to be a surrendered soul. Mm. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked, how can we become humble? And Prabhupada said, just by acting humble, you can become humble. So in the same way, if you carefully act in a surrendered way, even though your mood may be still a little bit afraid, oh, I don't know if I can do this step in my life at this moment. If you act in a surrendered way, you will see that the magic of the Sharanagati process will start to influence your whole life. That's why we want to distribute to you different practice sheets which will help you to act in a certain way, and then you will become influenced, if not infected, by the magic of Sharanagati. This is the idea. So, okay, let us go now read the nice the translation of the song which we just read. I want to request Krishna Krishna Das Kaviraj Prabhu to maybe come here and read this translation for us, because I really think you have a much better way of reading English than I can hope to develop in this life. May please sit here. I will be your sound equipment man. One moment, please. We have not yet. Thank you, colleagues. Please mark the mood of this amazing song. After having surrendered in the mood of Manasa Deha Geho, his house, his family, his everything to the Lord, that was called Atma Nivedanam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur now is satisfied to be the dog watching his master's house. It's no longer his, it's Krishna's. And as far as his own maintenance is concerned, he really does not worry, because the owner of the house will naturally maintain the dog who guards the house. This is his mood. The dog really never thinks so much about the maintenance. I don't know who of you had dogs at their home before, maybe before joining Krishna consciousness. They're always there and they give their signs. And we are also here. Please think of us carefully and kindly. And then naturally, you know, there's, when the master eats, they sit also there. We don't come too close, but we want to show that the feeling of hunger is also not a foreigner to our stomach. He is known to us. Please give something, and the master will throw. Thank you. So this is very natural for the dog to consider himself to be maintained. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Gopthritve Varana, or acceptance of the Lord as one's sole maintainer, means one thinks,
I do not believe that the deities presiding over the different sacrifices or religious performances deliver the results of these acts, nor do they maintain me. It is rather Krishna alone who takes care of me and not any other man or God. This feeling, it is Krishna alone who takes care of me and not any other man or God. This is essential to the idea of accepting the Lord as one's soul maintainer. Jiva Goswami makes the point, because accepting the Lord as one's own maintainer expresses the idea of unconditional surrender, therefore it is accepted to be the main limb of Sharanagati. If I totally accept the Lord as my only maintainer in life, maintainer or guardian, caretaker, this expresses the main idea of Sharanagati and therefore is the center of it. Akura gives three reasons why one should go to Lord Krishna and accept him as one's soul maintainer. I've looked this verse up for you in the scriptures. It also appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let me read it for you. Kapanditastvat aparam sharanam samiyat bhakta priyat ritagira surida kritagyat savandadati surido bhajato vikamam atmanam ap yupachaya pachayo nayasya. He prays to Lord Krishna, who once visited him in his home in Mathura. You can imagine Krishna has entered through the front door of Arjuna, of Akrura's dwelling place. Arjuna has just washed the Lord's feet and seated the Lord, and now he praises the Lord. He says, "What pandit or learned person would approach anyone but you for shelter when you are the affectionate, grateful, and truthful well-wisher of your devotees? To those who worship you in sincere friendship, you reward everything they desire, even your own self, yet you never increase or diminish." So there are three qualities in Krishna which Akrura highlights, which make him very worthy of taking shelter. Krishna is full of affection. Krishna is full of affection. Do you know Krishna's most important name for the devotees? Bhakta Vatsala, the friend, the affectionate friend of his devotees. I'm just a little while ago I read the biography of Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. You know Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj? He used to talk to his deities. When someone came and asked him a question, he had his deities, and he said, "What would you say, Goni Thai?" And then apparently the deities talked to him, and he gave that person the answer of Goni Thai. Vamsidas Babaji would sometimes sit
late into the night, and he would shout with great joy, Bhakta Vatsala Hari! Bhakta Vatsala Hari! Bhakta Vatsala Hari! He would always chant this, because Krishna is the affectionate friend of his devotees. The nectar of Rupa Goswami describes one particular pastimes of Lord Krishna, which shows how he is the affectionate friend of his devotees. See, he had given his word to not take up a weapon in the fight of Kurukshetra. However, when Arjun was severely threatened by grandfather Bhishma, Krishna broke his word. And he raced towards grandfather Bhishma. While he was running, his beautiful body was becoming dusty with the dust of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. His waves of hair waved in the air, and he looked really like a lion in full attack. At that time, the Lord moved so fast that his upper garment was lost for a moment. Bhishma saw him coming and began to shot his arrows with a bow which was drawn really to the extreme. These are hard arrows. They bit into the soft body of Lord Krishna. But he was approaching unchecked. Finally, the Lord was taking up a wheel, a chariot wheel, and was ready to hurl it at grandfather Bhishma to end his life. When grandfather Bhishma sank on his knees and paid his respectful obeisances to the Lord, grandfather Bhishma was so moved because the Lord cared for him. He was a Kshatriya. He wanted a chivalrous exchange. And more than that, he was moved because Lord Krishna had broken his own word in order to protect his devotee. So Akrura says, you are so affectionate. That's a reason why I want to surrender to you. Isn't it? When you surrender to someone who is affectionate, that is not difficult, Manohar, isn't it? Another quality of Krishna which makes him the worthy object of our surrender is his gratefulness. Lord Krishna expresses his gratefulness in the Mahabharata when he remembers Draupadi, who called out in her great distress when she was in danger of being stripped naked. Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal. He says that this sincere calling for him has totally indebted him to Draupadi. And he says this indebtedness is growing every day. It means Krishna must hear the Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal echoing in his mind. And he thinks, what can I give this devotee who called so much for me? Wonderful, isn't it? And the last, Krishna is truthful. Truthful, Krishna being truthful comes out at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. I mean, everyone had almost had lost his life, even the sons of Draupadi. But before the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna had assured Kunti, there will always be 5 Pandavas. Don't worry. This is my word.
Now, this was not so easy to accomplish. At the very end of the battle of Kurukshetra, when everything was over, the chariot was holding. Krishna was stopping the chariot, and he looked back to the chariot and said, "Arjuna, you get down from the chariot first." Now, all the other days, Krishna had climbed down the chariot first, because he acted as a chariot driver, and the chariot driver is supposed to get down from the chariot and help the warrior who's in heavy armor to get down from the chariot. This time Krishna said to Arjuna, "I will wait." Arjuna looked at Krishna, and knowing well that Krishna always knew what he did, he climbed down the chariot. Then only Krishna climbed down the chariot. The moment Krishna climbed down that chariot, Bhakta Brahm, the chariot went like and was devoured by flames and by brahmastras and by the millions of curses, and just was gone almost like a piece of paper which comes into the oven of Radhadesh, you know. What was that, Govinda? That was all the curses and the brahmastras. As long as I was there, they couldn't harm you. Therefore, I needed to stay till the very end, and you needed to climb away first. So Krishna is very truthful. He kept his promise. There will always be 5 Pandavas up to the very end. He did not disappoint anyone with this promise. So Krishna has made this promise in the Bhagavad Gita, which he feels very strongly about this promise. He said to Arjuna, "Declare it boldly to the world, my devotees will never perish." This is a promise, and Krishna feels extremely strong about it. So when you surrender to him, Bhakta Brahm, you will be the object of Krishna's promise. He will take care of your affairs. What do you think? Can you tell me, is there anyone more worthy taking shelter of than Krishna? You must admit, it is not possible. Huh? He is the most affectionate friend, he is most grateful, and he is truthful. These are the 3 arguments which Akrura gives for us. Let me read the verse again. What learned person would approach anyone else but you for shelter? When you are the affectionate, grateful, and truthful well-wisher of your devotees, to those who worship you in sincere friendship, you reward everything they desire, even your own self, yet you never increase or diminish. There are many acharyas who want to convince us that you can join Lord Krishna's camp, and he is able to maintain you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he offers further arguments. He says, "O useful son of the king of Braj, you are the lord of all other lords. According to your will, creation and destruction take place in the universe. According to your will, Lord Brahma creates, and according to your will, Lord Vishnu maintains. According to your will, Lord Shiva destroys, and according to your will, Maya constructs the prison house of this world." Wonderful, isn't it?
In Padyavali is a similar verse by Rupa Goswami, which describes the talks of Lord Krishna when he goes to bed. He's there, his eyelids are half closed, and he says, Brahma, you sit there. Shiva, don't come so close, you look a little wild. and so on. Mother Yashoda hears this. He says, child, what nonsense are you speaking? Child, what nonsense are you speaking? But Krishna really orders Brahma and Shiva and even Vishnu to maintain. So, therefore, he can be our maintainer. Yamunacharya prays in a similar way. He says, as one is assured of the upkeep of a sold animal, which will be taken care of by the master, similarly, there is no reason to be worried for the upkeep of one's body when it has been offered unto the lotus feet of Sri Hari. Then a nice verse, isn't it? When you really understand that Lord keeps track of you, like he keeps track of a so like a master keeps track of a sold animal, then you can surrender. So from this we can actually learn that Lord Krishna, we can make different steps. This is something for our Rabin. Rabin, can you be please so kind to say first of all what Goptritva Varana means, the acceptance of the Lord as one's sole maintainer. Actually, don't say it. Someone can please tell me what does this mood mean? Maybe a little difficult to remember. It means it is rather to meditate. It's rather Krishna alone who takes care of me, and not any other man or God. And then second point, meditate about the qualities of Lord Krishna, that he is affectionate, grateful, and truthful. And also that he is the Lord of all the Lords. Once, in a little village of Russia, when the communists were taking over, the communists went to the people of the village and asked, they went to them right after they had come out of the church, and they asked, so did you pray? Yes, the people. Did you pray also for your daily bread? Yes, the people. Like every day. And has God given you bread? People said, no. Aha, said the communist. And the communistic leader waved his hand like this towards a truck which had been waiting. And the truck came right before the church. Tuk, 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 tuk. He went on the truck and he distributed bread to the people until no one was left who didn't have a piece, a loaf of bread. Loaf? Then he asked the question, so who is giving you bread? Such a shameless person. God or the communists? This was a very, very direct question. people of the village thought, we have prayed so long for bread. But we have never gotten any bread. Yes, sometimes, once a month, this little good-for-nothing bread. Oblata, you say. The communists have given us bread. Communists. Let me ask you, what would you have answered? Or what answer would you have given? Yes, Yadunandan.
God sent the communists to
God sent the communists to the church.
Or answer another question, where did you get the bread?
What do you think, Krishna Chandra? This is a good question, isn't it? What?
I was pretty much thinking what you
said. Yeah. I have of course thought about this and prepared a question. I would also, yes, from where did you get your bread? Then the communist people would say, from the communistic factories. Yes, I would have asked. But from where did they get the grains? From the communistic farms. Is it called Kolchosen? But where did they get the seeds from? Oh, it's very difficult. Now I'm not really a farmer, but I guess from the cooperative seed department. I think finally we would have pressured the communists into the corner and said, answer this, like Prabhupada would say, answer this. The seed is coming from God, and the sun, which is necessary, and the rain and so on, are all God given arrangements. So with this little story, I want to, it comes from Europe, this story. I wanted to impress on you that it's really God who is our maintainer. In a few moments I will raise a few interesting questions to you, in fact a volley of questions, but in this mood of accepting Lord Krishna as the maintainer, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went through South India and he sang one song which is very important for the Vaishnavas and which I wish to sing with you. It's very easy in our Dandyani, one song only which we will sing with you now, a song where he accepts the Lord as his own maintainer. He will say Rakshaman, protect me, and let me see, and Pahiman means maintain me. Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna. Jai Govinda, may I request you please to bring me the 10th canto, 46th chapter, text 3. 10:46, text 3. 1046, text 3. Lord Krishna sees that a devotee goes into the protection of him. In other words, when the Lord sees that a devotee wants to be maintained by him, this is now the Lord's reaction. Rabin, please write it down. He becomes very, very personally moved. There's a very interesting verse which I found by Krishna's mercy. It says, tells us a little bit how personal the Lord is with his devotees. Tamaha Bhagavan Preshtam Bhaktam Ekantinam Kvachit Grihitva panina panim prapanati haro hadihi. The Lord who relieves the distress of all who surrender to him once took the hand of his fully devoted dearmost friend Uddhava and addressed him as follows. When, in other words, Krishna takes Uddhava near to his side and he takes his hand into his hand, in other words, Uddhava's hand is touched by the hands of the Lord, then the Lord tells him something very important. I don't know if you ever done this to a friend, when you say something important, you take his hand in your hand and then you tell him something important. He says, dear gentle Uddhava, go to Braj and give pleasure to our parents and also relieve the gopis suffering in separation from me by giving them my message. The minds of those gopis are always absorbed in me, and their very lives are ever devoted to me. For my sake, they have abandoned everything related to their bodies, renouncing ordinary happiness in this life. Therefore, I take it upon myself to sustain them in all circumstances. Srila Sanatana Goswami makes this very clear in his purport. Krishna talks about the condition of the gopis in Vrindavan. The gopis were heartbroken in Krishna's absence and they performed their household duties in a very mechanical way. From morning till evening, they only had one business, that is, they sang the different songs relating to Lord Krishna. So the question which comes up is, how did the meals get cooked? Because the gopis were absent-minded. They were only doing kirtan and remembering Krishna, and sometimes replaying or reenacting Krishna's pastimes. So how did the important household chores get done? This is a question of high interest to Vaishnavas. I mean, how did it work? And Krishna answered this question by saying that it is he who maintains with his energy the devotee, the life of the gopis. By his yoga maya energy, everything is arranged mysteriously. You might think, well, this is very nice to hear, but do you actually think this applies in our case? And my dear devotee, I have personal devotees, I have personal experience of Krishna maintaining his devotees who have nothing else in their mind than glorifying and serving him. Once there was in Berlin a temple in the Schlüterstraße. We had to pay a rent of 500 German marks each month. That was 250 euros, but this was much too much for us because we needed to offer Krishna prasadam, and we needed to wash our clothes, and we needed to print some leaflets for distribution. So how could we pay so much money? We tried our level best. Finally, the landlord said, my dear devotees, we live in the world of business. You have to give this. I give you one last chance. If you have not paid the last 3 months' rent, which are overdue, by the end of this month, I will be forced to evict you. So one day before the final date, I mean, we tried, but we had to offer Krishna nice prasadam, and we had to wash our clothes and print our leaflets. We couldn't, at that time, we didn't have the mind to stop any of these highly important activities which Prabhupada had given us. We were like this. So one day before the final date, I went into the mailbox, and opened it, and I found one envelope, gave it to the temple president. I'm sure, I said, this is the last word of the landlord to us. The temple president opened it, and he found out it was a check over 1,500 German marks. I'm sure Krishna must have put this into the letterbox, almost like he carried two baskets of vegetables to the Brahmana who had worked on the Bhagavad Gita and had crossed out the word, I personally carry what my devotees need. Krishna is like this to a surrendered soul. And this was shown once to the highly learned Brahmana Sridhar Swami. I don't know if you know Sridhar Swami's history. We once visited his village in Orissa. He was a married man, and as far as I remember, his wife died and left his one son for him to take care of. He had in mind to take sannyas, but when the burden of the maintenance of the son fell solely on him, he thought he could not do it. And he, one day in great distress, went to the forest, thought deep thoughts. That moment, a bird, a little bird dropped out of the nest, fell on the ground, and he thought, oh no! Now I most probably have to also take care of the little bird. My family has just now increased by one bird.
But as he was thinking, this was a sign that he could not possibly take sannyas. He noticed how another bird came down and took care of the little bird who had fallen out of the nest. Then he understood. Lord Krishna has sent this bird to take care of the little bird. Lord Krishna can also make an arrangement to take care of my son so that I can serve him better. And he, after some time, he did take sannyas and his family situation was nicely arranged. Yes, we can trust of the maintenance of the Lord, but there will also be, it will be necessary to put some sincere questions to this concept of Krishna being the maintainer. I want to now tell you a little bit a prayer of Srila Prabhupada about accepting Krishna as one's only guardian and caretaker. He wrote once he translated Goptritve Varana, accepting the maintenance of the guardianship of the Lord, in a very interesting way. He said one should become a member of a spiritual family. Have you noticed in the sheet of paper which was distributed to you, the six verses on surrender, that point three is to become a member of a spiritual family? Have you noted that? In his poem Prayer to the Lotus Feet of Krishna, written on the Yaladuta, September 13th, 1965, Srila Prabhupada gives a very interesting perspective. This prayer was written in the mood of separation from Krishna. 3 days before he wrote, Prabhupada wrote this prayer, that is on the September 10th. I made a little research in Prabhupada's writing. He had written in his diary, "Today the ship is plying very smoothly." Plying means it drives very smoothly through the waves. "I feel today better, but I'm feeling separation of Sri Vrindavan and my Lord Sri Govinda, Gopinath, Radha Damoda. My only solace is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which I am tasting the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. I have left Bharata Bhumi just to execute the order of Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in pursuance of Lord Chaitanya's order. I have no qualification, but I have taken up the risk just to carry out the order of His divine grace. I depend fully on their mercy, so far away from Vrindavan." Now, in this prayer, which we will read to you in a moment, Srila Prabhupada makes some points to become a member of a transcendental family. You can just imagine, Prabhupada goes to Vrindavan, leaves Vrindavan and goes to America without any idea who will maintain him, how it will work out. It's almost, it's much more dramatic than what Krishna Das Kaviraj, Goswami Prabhu, has told us, you know, where he went from Ottawa, what is the town?
Yeah,
Ottawa, to some little town in Canada, where there are black bears in Canada, yeah, black bears.
So he has described, but Prabhupada went over the whole ocean, and there was no temple to phone if there was any need, and so on. So he writes in a mood of fully surrendering to Krishna, in this mood of being maintained by Krishna, a very nice verse. This is on the ocean. There are delphines in the background. I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. O Lord Krishna, you are my eternal companion. Forgetting you, I have suffered the kicks of Maya, birth after birth. If today the chance to meet you occurs again, then I will surely be able to rejoin you. Oh dear friend, in your company I will experience great joy once again. In the early morning I will wander about the cowherd pastures and fields, running and frolicking in the many forests of Braj. I will roll on the ground in spiritual ecstasy. Oh, when will that day be mine? Today that remembrance of you came to me in a very nice way, because I have a great longing. I call to you. I am your eternal servant, and therefore I desire your association so much. O Lord Krishna, except for you, there is no other means of success. I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. This sentence, my dear brother, you will only obtain your good fortune when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. This sentence, which ushers us in the spiritual family life, into our spiritual family, is very important. Sva Sankalpa Prakasha Stotra in Stavavali, that's a verse of that's Raghunath Das Goswami's writing. He says how it is so necessary to take shelter of Srimati Radharani. You may know that the Yadavas worship Yadavendra, the lord of the Yadu dynasty, but the Gaudiyas, they are worshippers of Radharani. In all our temples we have Srimati Radharani next to Lord Krishna, and we actually say Radha's name first and then Krishna's name. Our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada is a great devotee of Radharani. And we put Srimati, he says, you must approach through Srimati Radharani, the Supreme Lord. Now there is a very nice verse from this work of Raghunath Das Goswami, which will help you a little bit to understand this. Anaratya Rara Padam Bhujarinum Anashrita Brindatavim Tat Padankam Asanbasya Tat Bhava Gambira Chitan Kuta Syamasindo. Syamasindo means the ocean of Syam. Rasasya Vagaha. He asks questions. How is it possible to immerse oneself in the ocean of Syam Rasa, love for Krishna, or the Madhurya Rasa, without worshipping the dust of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, or without taking shelter of Vrindavan, which is decorated with her footprints, or without serving her devotees, whose grave hearts are always absorbed in love for her? There is a very nice prayer to Srimati Radharani, which is given by Rupa Goswami in his work Stava Mala. He says, O Devi, in great distress I fall to the ground offering you obeisances and prayers. With a voice choked with emotion, O Gandharvike, Gandharvika is the name of Radharani, O Gandharvike, please bestow your mercy upon this pauper, pauper means poor man, and count me amongst your associates. A devotee who sincerely wants to practice Goptritva Varanam, accepting the Lord as his maintainer, will also think very deeply about Srimati Radharani. There's a very nice leela which I want to tell you in this connection, which is quite interesting. It is in connection with Shidam Radhakund. Once there was a female jackal who came to Shivakori. Shivakori is a place a little bit outside of Radhakund. It's where today the residents of Vrindavan, of Radhakund, are cremated. This jackal was very thirsty and drank some of the water. All of a sudden, many children came with sticks and attacked the jackal. Jackals, you must know, are not so much loved in Vrindavan, because sometimes jackals will attack the little babies when they are hungry, and little cows as well. Have you ever heard the jackals of Vrindavan or Mayapur howling? It's really a sound where you feel, these are not my friends. Very long. Please stop. I have seen so many horror movies in my childhood that this is not a good sanskara which you wake up with your howling. You go like and you so the children began to attack the jackal who was so thirsty, and immediately she's a she jackal, went immediately into an empty, deserted foxhole to take shelter. The children didn't give peace. They put dry wood and straw before the foxhole and began to lit the fire, to get the smoke inside, so that finally the jackal would be forced to run out, and then they would receive the jackal with their sticks, kill it. So again the jackal went like, woo, too much, woo, which was heard by Radharani. She went to Lalita, she said to Lalita, who is howling at my kund? There should be only happiness at my lake. Lalita said, I will go and look, and came back. Srimati Radharani, it's a jackal. The village children are having some activity with the jackal. Oh, said Radharani, no one should be unhappy at my lake. Bring the jackal to me. So Lalita went to the children. She took a form in which the children could receive her or see her, and said, go, this is not good. Here's Radhakund. You go play somewhere else. No, but it's a jackal. It's a jackal. No, she will not do anything. It's a damn jackal, most properly. Here you take some fruits and some sweets, and you go and eat them. But it's a jackal. No. You eat some sweets and you be peaceful. And in this way, Lalita took the children away. And then she brought the jackal, who was almost dead, before Srimati Radharani. The jackal was by that time crying and crying and crying. The people of India say this story. I will tell you what happened, but first it represents us. We are the she jackal. Why she? Because we are ultimately Prakriti, energy, female. And after many lifetimes, we have finally come to Krishna consciousness, which is really like the lake, in which we can drink water. But the life is very difficult, so we take shelter at the lotus feet of a spiritual master, which is like a safe hole. But even then, while you have taken shelter at the lotus feet of a spiritual master, sometimes difficulties are there. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? Yes. Even our Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who is happiness personified, has noticed that sometimes it's difficulty. So then, what should we do? We must call out, Hare Krishna. Hare means Srimati Radharani, please accept me. And Krishna, please accept me. This is very important. This is what the howling of the jackal did. Woo! And then Lalita brought her to Srimati Radharani. So Radharani saw this jackal was so almost dying. You see, she was at Radhakund. So she took a lotus flower, which never shrivels, and touched it to the forehead of the unfortunate jackal. And by the touch of that lotus flower, which was not an ordinary lotus flower, but Srimati Radharani's lotus flower, the jackal was instantaneously transformed and received her eternal spiritual body, her original position in the spiritual world, the mercy of Radharani. So Prabhupada writes, Radharani is even more compassionate than Krishna, being the female compassionate counterpart of the Lord. And if you wish to really advance in Krishna consciousness, you should not forget Shrimati Radharani in your plan. You should not forget also Vrindavan Dham, which is covered with the lotus feet of Shrimati Radharani. And you should definitely not forget the great devotees of Radharani, who can help you to understand the secrets of devotional service better. Especially, my dear devotees, do not be shy in your life. Plan to sometimes go to Vrindavan for a sacred pilgrimage. It is so important to touch that sacred ground which is touched by the lotus feet of Radharani. You can actually, says Prabodhananda Sarasvati Thakur, not develop an attraction to Radharani without Vrindavan. I think this is something which is the great treasure of going to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan you can understand the most secret and more confidential truths of Krishna consciousness, which are explained and indicated by Srila Prabhupada at many many places. But you need actually the touch of the of Vrindavan Dham. I must tell you also a confession from my personal side. For a long time I have only gone to Vrindavan Dham on my journeys, and obviously I have read Chaitanya Charitamrita and so on, but I never felt I had so much contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I knew philosophically that and intellectually that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's position is also of great importance of in Krishna consciousness. So I sincerely asked devotees, what do you recommend me? I'm doing everything to get a relationship with Lord Chaitanya, but it just doesn't come about. The devotee said, well, just like you developed more understanding about Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, you will develop more understanding of Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur. Therefore I went to Mayapur. Please do not be shy or let us say reserved in going to Vrindavan. Please go there without any shyness. Oh, with shyness is always good, but go there. Once Prabhupada was asked, what is the benefit of going to Vrindavan? And he answered, it gives one the impetus to go back home, back to Godhead. It gives you the impetus. Impetus means the inner push. Impetus is an English word, means the inner push is supplied in Vrindavan. Now a very practical dimension of taking shelter in the mood of being Krishna's maintainer, this will be the next point, Rabban, on our point, is to take shelter in the holy name. When you take shelter in the holy name, you have the best prayer for Radha and Krishna. And I have decided to do another japa workshop with you, like we did last time, because I really want to see that we can use this retreat to improve our relationship to the holy name. There's a beautiful prayer to the holy name which I want to sing for your pleasure. Nikila Shruti Moli Moli Ratna Mala. Nikila Shruti Moli Ratna Mala. Sati Nirajita Pada Pankajanta. Ai Mukta Kule upasyamanam paritastvam harinama sansayami yeti lashuti moliratnamala yuti nirajitapa tapankajanta Aayi mukta kule upasyamana Paritasvam harinama sansayami Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare beautiful composition of Srila Rupa Goswami, a prayer to the holy name. It's Sri Krishna Namashtakam. It says, O holy name, because you are non-different from the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the entire galaxy of Upanishads, which are like precious gems, are serving the toenails of your lotus feet with their brilliance. Meaning, the Vedic scriptures are constantly glorifying your lotus feet. Great yogis, sages and liberated transcendentalists are engaged in worshipping you. Therefore, I fully surrender unto you and humbly pray for your shelter. We are approaching this subject matter of taking shelter and becoming one of the maintained servants of Lord Krishna. And if we realistically look for our way to this kingdom of Gopritva Varanam, we will always start and end with the holy name. The holy name in which Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani are personally present. Therefore, Rupa Goswami gives an essence of all advice. This is a very, very important essence. You must know that just a couple of days before Mahaprabhu left this earth, he went with his dearmost devotees on the bank of the ocean. And there on the ocean, he was in a state of deep ecstatic trance. He looked towards the forests which were on the edge of the ocean, and he was remembering Vrindavan. When he looked into the blue color of the ocean, he remembered what? The Jamuna. At that time, he began to speak the essence of all his instructions which he had given. Srila Rupa Goswami was present at that time and quickly made notes, from which he later composed his famous book, Sri Upadeshamrita. One of these verses now, these verses are condensing the essence of all of Mahaprabhu's advice, is even considered the essence of Upadeshamrita. And today we will listen to this verse in great attention and with great pleasure in our hearts. Please listen, because these advices might change your life so that this retreat really does what it is supposed to do, that is to enliven you in your Krishna conscious practice. Tanamarupa charita disukirtananu smridyo kramena rasana manasi niyoja tishtan brajetat anuragi jananugami kalam nayarakilamit upadeshasaram. Upadeshasaram heißt the cream or essence of instructions. The essence of all advice, this is text 8, huh? The essence of all advice is that one should eat enough prasadam. Oh, sorry. I made a mistake. Please excuse me. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time 24 hours a day in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, the Lord's qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind In this way, one should reside in Braj, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to His devotional service. If you want to become a member of Krishna's family, as Prabhupada has translated this Gopritva Varanam, or accepting the Lord's as one's only guardian and maintainer, then this is the verse for you. Gradually you must come to the stage where you can chant and remember Krishna's name, His form, qualities and eternal pastimes. And you should also do this by having role models. So important. The role models of worship of Krishna are the Brajavasis, the His eternal servants in Vrindavan, like His cowherd boyfriends, the gopis, the manjaris, and so on and so forth. By hearing about how Krishna is served by His dear devotees, you will also feel on a level of purification some attraction to this to a specific type of servitor and his service, and you will think this is a right role model. This is how Krishna should be served. This happens on a level of purification of the heart when these things become revealed to you by and by. I'm now almost finished. We have now said we must, to become a family member, we must think of Srimati Radharani, Vrindavan, and the dear devotees. We must chant the holy names of the Lord. But there's one last tip which is very, very important for you, for us. Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we will hear tomorrow morning, is a very special incarnation of the Lord, who gives that what has not been given before by any other incarnation, that is love of Krishna. There's a very nice verse about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Chaitanya Chadramrita. It's from the 6th chapter, verse 52. It goes like this. Hahanta hanta paramo sharachitta bhumo vyati bhavanti mama sadhana kotta yopi savatmana tat aham atputa bhakti bijam shri gaura chandra charanam sharanam karomi. Alas, alas, alas. Millions of the seeds of material pious deeds fail to sprout when I try to plant them in the desert of my heart. He says, I'm not attracted, in other words, to pious deeds. I shall give up trying to plant them, and with all my heart I shall take shelter of Lord Gaurachandra's feet, which bear the wonderful seed of pure devotional service. Lord Chaitanya is hope for the hopeless, because he is very merciful. In Mayapur, we had a wonderful lecture by His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, who gave us an example so that we could understand the mercy of Chaitanya. He said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is really Krishna, who wants to experience the devotional feelings of Srimati Radharani, and who therefore comes with the feeling and mood of Srimati Radharani, searching constantly for Krishna. Where are you? At the same time, because he tastes Krishna consciousness, he's drunken and he gives Krishna consciousness to others. And he gave an example. When there is a king who is tremendously rich, that king may become drunken. And when you go there and say, I want a little gold, the king said, oh, you want a little gold? Why only a little? Take much. This is much better. And gives you. At that time, the ministers can come and stop him. No, no, no. He's a beggar. He is Yadunandan, a poor man. He does not deserve anything. He's not qualified. The king says, I don't care. I am the king. Are you the king or am I the king? And he will give. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has kept the treasure of bhakti and he is ready to distribute it to one and all. Okay, I have almost come to the end now. I want to see if there are any questions from your side. Then after this I will ask a question to you. Yadunandan ji.
Maharaj, where is the line? Because sometimes there are stories that the devotee shouldn't take care of his, just let Krishna maintain him. But then there are these stories in Radhakunda, I think Ramanathas was one when Srimati Radharani came to take care of him. And I don't remember what Ramanathas was one, and another was one corrected him.
You cannot, yes. Sanatana Goswami. He was once the guest of Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami wanted to make so much sweet rice for him. But he didn't have the provisions in his house. At that time, a beautiful girl came who said she is a neighborhood resident and gave milk, rice, anise, cardamom, and all the things which are required, and Rupa Goswami cooked that all this into made a sweet rice, which he served Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami said, "The taste of this sweet rice is so wonderful. Where did you get it?" By that time, Rupa Goswami was also eating it. And both of them were drunken with happiness. Wow, it's so wonderful, brother. And they cried and so on. Rupa Goswami said, well, a girl brought it by. And she looked so nice. And he began to describe the girl. Now, Sanatana Goswami thought, this is unusual that my brother, who is an ascete, describes in so much detail the girl. What has happened? He saw when Rupa Goswami described more and more, he came in total ecstasy. From the description he understood this could not possibly be an ordinary girl. And then it dawned on him, wait a minute, the taste was also extraordinary. It must be. Oh, alas, alas, this is Radharani, from whom you have taken service. This is very bad. We are finished. We want to serve Radha and Krishna, not take service. And then
the question is, where is the line?
Where is the line? And I wanted to come to this question also, yes. This is a very, very important question. And I really wanted to ask this question to the group. Because I'm very unqualified. I did not go to the Bhaktivedanta College like you. I will ask this question. Are we really asking and Lord Krishna to maintain us. At this moment we can only hear the clock ticking and your thoughts. What are your thoughts on this? There is a verse in the Gita which says, Ananyas chintayantumam ye jana palyupasati tesham nityav yuktanam yoga kshema vahamyaham. To those who are constantly devoted, I carry what they need and maintain what they have. Now what do we do with this? It's said on one side that Krishna does this. What is our position? Jai Bhadra, please save us from our confusion.
When I think of that verse, I always think in terms of spiritual development or spiritual advancement. Because the Lord's not giving us all the way to the end. So if I can somehow keep crawling in the right direction, then the Lord will just maintain whatever it was that's good that I ever had.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Any other? Chaitanya Chandra is your name?
Yes, ma'am.
It's like one of the commentary that says, just like a husband likes to carry his beloved into the house. It's a burden of love. Krishna likes to carry the basket for his devotees with the things he maintains. Yeah, this is what I'm not commenting, I want to hear. For Krishna, it's a burden of love. So we should ask him, my dear Lord, give me a mercy dispense. mercy dispense is a new car. And the Lord will carry it as a burden of love. This is a question. So should we ask the Lord for things because he likes to maintain us? No, he will happily jump to the occasion.
We should only ask for surrender.
He should ask for spiritual things only. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on this? What does it mean to accept Krishna as one's only maintainer?
To surrender my worries.
To surrender my worries.
And replace them by absorbing my mind. I was reading the last verse of this song. I will never think of my own nourishment and will remain absorbed in ever cherishing love for my master. Instead of thinking of what I'm lacking, I absorb myself in hearing and chanting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Instead of thinking what I'm lacking, I absorb myself in hearing and chanting.
Well, the Lord is maintaining us anyway.
The Lord is maintaining us anyway.
Therefore, you should accept Him as the maintainer.
The point is the accepting the Lord, yes, personally, says Bhakta Brahm. Mm-hmm.
Becoming grateful and not taking things for granted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jai Govinda Prabhu, you had an idea?
I was thinking that the principle seems to be that we acknowledge Krishna to be the supreme controller and not us and not getting shelter of whatever is us or ours, our intelligence or positions or whatever, or taking shelter of and accepting
the teaching of this principles, this point Sri Govinda is to acknowledge Lord Krishna's position as the only maintainer. Mm-hmm.
I just remember Sri Prabhupada often sort of criticizing other religions because they look upon God as the owner of life.
Yeah.
And so I when I think of accepting Krishna as a maintainer, obviously it can't be that he's our order supplier, but rather that we should actually, as the other devotees were saying, that we should ask for devotion, and as Father Brahm and somebody else was saying, just it's Krishna's consciousness, and Krishna is there taking and maintaining us, and become conscious of that.
Dr. Brahm, I would like to also say something. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it very clear. Accepting Krishna as one's maintainer means one thinks, I do not believe that the deities presiding over the different sacrifices or religious performances deliver the results of these acts, nor do they maintain me. It is rather Krishna alone who takes care of me, and not any other man or God. Now the general principle is to accept Lord Krishna in this light of being the only maintainer, and to not ask him for material things. You don't need to ask Krishna for material things. He knows your need, and that there's no need. Nor will you, as a devotee, leave the maintenance of you up to Krishna. You will feel, let me do my task of living and taking care of this. But you know that Krishna is the one who takes care of you. It's almost the same point as we have learned earlier, where you know that Krishna is in control, but you do as much as you can do to serve him. At the same time, after you are solidly fixed in this, that you do whatever is expected of you in your different ashrams, grihastha or brahmachari and sannyasi, they have different rules for living in this world. And when you act according to your dharmic role, then you should know Krishna takes care of me. A grihastha is meant to nobly earn some money, and a brahmachari and a sannyasi are meant to serve Lord Krishna by fully engaging in the preaching mission. And these, when a person is properly situated in his rightful dharma, Lord Krishna will certainly provide all what is necessary. This was very graphically brought out to one devotee of Lord Jagannath in Puri. This devotee was very poor. He was a Brahmana, and he read regularly the Bhagavad Gita. One day his wife said, you're always reading the Bhagavad Gita, this is not good, you should better go to work. No, said, I'm a Brahmana, I should teach the Gita, I should be properly situated according to the Lord. The Lord will take care of me. The Lord is Jagannath. Oh, said the wife, your Lord is Jagannath, he takes care of you? Then let us go to Puri. Let us ask him to take care of us. No need. We do not wish to ask him. Anyways, the wife must have been a very strong wife, and he pulled her husband with the children to Puri. They came, they arrived in the late in the night in the Puri, and they went to the garden, the Jagannath Vallabha garden, to rest. They were very hungry. Very early in the morning, one Brahmana boy came with a huge plate with many golden, small golden plates. Is Jagat Bandhu there? Yes, said Jagat Bandhu. That's me. Ah, here is for you something to eat. And here's a candle. I have to go. Be careful with the plate, it's pure gold. And he left. Jagat Bandhu thought that was wonderful. He woke up his wife and the hungry children, and they all had the feast of their lives. Without end, they ate. They were so hungry. Finally, at the end, they felt like, let us wash our mouth and go to sleep. After eating, you want to sleep, naturally. So when a little later, Jagat Bandhu felt something on his cheek, and he was so tired, but he opened his eyes and he looked right into the face of the soldier. The soldier had his lance on the cheek. And he said, "You rascal!" There were like 10 other soldiers with lances who went like this. "You rascal, good morning." "Good morning," said Jagat Bandhu. "Why am I a rascal?" His wife was going, this is your lord. We come to Puri, we are hungry. And then this. You have, you were hungry. Your wife has said it. You went into the temple this morning and stole the plate of Lord Jagannath with the golden bowls. And you have eaten from the golden bowls, and now you lie there like some offense, they said. Like camels after eating. you will be brought to the king, and the king will judge you to die. This has never happened in Puri that someone... we were informed this morning that the golden plate was missing, the Maha plate. This is now you will be judged for this heavy crime. Ah, Jagat Bandhu said, "I didn't do it. It was just a Brahmana this morning who came by. Yeah, yeah, yeah." This you can tell the king. And they brought him and his whole family in the prison. In the morning, on that day, Lord Jagannath did not eat any of the food which was offered to him. All the food which came before him was wished away. In the evening, he appeared before the king and said, "My devotee has come. I have brought him the food because he was hungry. And what do? You throw him into the prison. Let him immediately out of the prison. Jagat Bandhu should be my cook, and his family should be given a good house and a provision. They are sometimes very hungry, I need to care for my devotees." The king woke up and he said, "Oh, sorry." He went personally into the prison and said, I'm very, very sorry. Why did I have to throw you in the prison? I'm such an ignorant king. I'm sorry. You are now the new cook, one of the new cooks, and your family will have a house. The Lord has shown over and over the history of mankind how he maintains his devotees, but his devotees They react to this kind offer of the Lord in this way. They know that whatever comes has been given to them by the Lord, but they also know that they have to do their, so to say, they have to play their dharmic role to do what they have. Very practically, some of you are brahmacharis and others are grihasthas. You should think differently about your maintenance. The brahmachari should preach, distribute books, win new friends and new people to support the temple. And naturally their support is guaranteed. The grihasthas should either work noble works, noble jobs, or they should also preach full time. But it is more realistic, our ISKCON movement shows this, if the grihasthas take some means of income, right? Means of income. And just like the brahmachari thinks of being only maintained by Krishna, the grihastha also should understand. It is Krishna who has given me the chance, Krishna who has given me the energy, Krishna who has given me the intelligence, so let me understand that he is my only maintainer. Yeah? This is what it is. Once, Srivas Thakur, the very confidential servant of Lord Krishna, was tested by Lord Chaitanya on this point. Lord Chaitanya said, Srivas, you only read the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. When are you going out and work? But, said Srivas Thakur, you are maintaining all of us. Yes, you have so much family. Why don't you become responsible for them? Srivas Thakur did like this. And now you're not even answering me. What is this? It means something, said Srivas Thakur. If for one day you don't maintain us, then we will chant Hare Krishna and fast. If for a second day you don't maintain us, we will chant and fast. If for the third day you don't maintain us, we will all go to the Ganga and submerge ourselves, or how do we say in English, and drown ourselves in the Ganga. Oops. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it's all right. I promise. You will be taken care by me personally. It is more likely, even if the goddess of fortune should go with the begging bowl from house to house, means be bankrupt. I will take care of you because you have so much faith. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says, after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, almost magically, even then, the household of Srivas Thakur was taken care of. There was always enough food. So, this doesn't mean that all our grihasthas should be like Srivas Thakur. If you are a pure devotee like Srivas Thakur, you can do this and worship the Lord with great faith, like was indicated with or reading the Bhagavad Gita, explaining it, and so on and so forth. But most of us grihasthas may not have yet that degree of faith, and so on, and it may be natural for them at the present state to work, whereas after some time they might also experience that they go into a more brahminical profession, if that is their nature and their lifestyle. Good. Whew. Hare Krishna. This was Gopcharitva Varanam. I really hope that it has helped you to understand this principle a little bit more. We have 5 more minutes, and I wanted to request you for these 5 minutes to kindly turn around and discuss accepting the Lord as one's maintainer with your neighbor. What this means? Just try to go through the points in the seminar which you have learned, in this way repeat what you have learned before your neighbor, all the different aspects and so on, and you will get a practice sheet soon. Huh? So we will have a little music. Please turn to your neighbor. If you wish to continue your discussions, you are welcome to do so. Just a point. We will have a nice Prabhupada evening at 7:30 in the temple with His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj, and also I believe Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. We didn't have the opportunity to ask Maharaj if he is available for the evening, and myself. So if you can, please be our guests this evening. Thank you very, very much. And please don't forget your humility practice sheet. It sounds so special, isn't it? The humility practice sheet. And look at it and see if you can, if anything of it makes sense, and if you can follow it. Thank you very much. We see each other tomorrow at, I believe, 10 o'clock again. Yeah. Hare Krishna.